This episode of the Children's Literature Podcast is brought to you by Climbing Trees. Climbing trees, the most fun ever, until you realize you don't know how to get back down again. Welcome to the Children's Literature Podcast. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. This episode is about Pippi Longstocking by Astrid Lindgren. Today, I'm joined by co-host Chloe. Welcome back, Chloe.
Thank you.
Before we get to talking about Pippi Longstocking, should we share some fun news?
Yes. It will be the 100th episode of the show soon, and we would love to answer more questions from listeners like we did for the 50th episode. Ask us anything about children's literature, or anything really. Send in questions to letters@childrensliteraturepodcast.com.
It's hard to believe we're getting close to 100 episodes. I'm so grateful to all of you listeners who tune into the show. We also have something fun to share about our Spring Writing Challenge.
For the show's Spring Writing Challenge, we asked the listeners to send in poems or stories about a cow. We got some very funny submissions, and we will be reading them out on the show with some help of some very special guests. But that's all we can say for now.
Thanks, Chloe. Today we're going to be talking about Pippi Longstocking by Astrid Lindgren. This is a book that you read very recently, Chloe, and I know you loved it because you found the audiobook from the library catalog and listened to it about 5 times.
Yes, I loved it so much that I couldn't stop listening to it, from tidying my bedroom to just moseying on my bed.
Pippi Longstocking was first published in 1945 by the Swedish author Astrid Lindgren, just months after World War II ended in Europe, and only a few weeks after it ended in the Pacific. At this time, many cities lay in ruins. Millions of people had died, and millions more were refugees or prisoners of war. Although the war was over, the world hadn't even begun to put itself back together again. That can seem like an odd time to publish a happy little children's book, but I think a character like Pippi could not have arrived at a better time. The world's children needed something to make them smile, and Pippi definitely got the job done. The original title of the book is Pippi Långstrump, which is just Swedish for Pippi Longstocking. It's one of the most translated children's stories in the world, and whenever it's published in a new language, the title is just translated literally. In Swedish, Långstrump means Longstocking. The main character of this book is happy, free-spirited, and delightfully barbaric. Lindgren first made up stories about Pippi for her 7-year-old daughter when she was ill with pneumonia. This means the book is more of a collection of stories without any broader plot arc, and it doesn't need one. It's best to think of Pippi as an imaginary friend come to life. She is larger than life with super strength and the ability to live completely on her own with no help from adults. She knows nothing about normal social customs, and she isn't interested in learning about any of them. She gets to do everything that kids wish they could get away with. I'm very happy that Chloe can help me understand more about this book today, because I already know what I think of it as a grown-up, but it'll be very helpful to hear about what kind of impression it makes on a child who's just read it for the first time. Chloe, what does Pippi do that you wish you could do?
Well, I wish that I could have super strength because I think it would help me a lot with my family because usually we have to move around boxes from the grocery shop and milk bottles are much more heavier than you think.
I think it would also help you with your gymnastics.
Yes, because I have been trying to do a pull-up and a back twirl on the bar.
Pippi's ridiculous stories that she makes up reminds me a lot of the things kids used to say on the playground when I was a kid at school. What do you think about the outrageous stories that Pippi tells?
Well, I think it's sort of a bit like, not really understandable because she does tell a story about a man whose ears are so big that his friends and himself can fit underneath it inside the rain, and I think it is completely ridiculous.
It is funny how she makes up things. Well, I don't know. Is she making up things? In the world that Pippi lives in, she has super strength. Her father is a cannibal king. She's sailed the seven seas on his boat. Maybe in this imaginary world, there really are people who walk backwards everywhere, like she says they do in Egypt. Or she says in Indochina, that's the name of a country that today we call Vietnam, she says everyone walks on their hands. But the funny thing is, she does admit that she's making things up. When she says to Tommy and Annika that everyone walks on their hands in Indochina, Tommy says that can't be true, and Pippi backtracks immediately and says, you shouldn't believe it when someone says something so crazy. So in a way, I think Pippi's very helpful because she's telling kids, you shouldn't just automatically believe everything that people tell you. And when she makes up these funny little things, I think it's more just to be silly and have some imagination. Which one of Pippi's adventures is your favorite?
I think my favorite story is when the burglars break into her house because it is so funny because she doesn't have a key for the door. She doesn't understand what the word burglar means, or she doesn't understand how, like, she shouldn't trust just, like, strangers unless she's, like, met them. In this case, she just let them come in, and after dancing the schottische, she immediately gave them both a gold piece.
I like that chapter too, because it's really, really funny. I mean, that's not at all what would happen if two burglars entered a house with a small child who is all on her own. But I also think that chapter can maybe be used to help children think about how they could be safe around strangers, right? But instead of scaring them with, like, oh, here's this scary scene with these awful guys, because Pippi is like this amazing imaginary friend with superpowers, she's never in danger. During the chapter, you never think that Pippi will be hurt or that her house will be destroyed or really that anything bad is going to happen at all. But like you said, you immediately caught on to the fact that she didn't realize that these people were dangerous. That can help children realize, like, oh, you know, some grown-ups maybe aren't so trustworthy and some people do bad things. But it's a way to talk about it that doesn't scare children, and I like that. Pippi lives all alone in Villa Villacoola, and she does all of the cooking, cleaning, and looking after her monkey, Mr. Nilsson, and the horse. Do you think you could live like that and take responsibility for all those things?
I think I could, but the only thing is, I don't know all of the recipes for cooking, and I don't think it would be very healthy eating cookies all the time.
She does make pepparkakor, which is a very traditional Swedish cookie. They're flat and crunchy, and they don't have pepper in them, but they have spices, like the kind of spices you'd think of at Christmas.
Cinnamon!
Yes, definitely that. And then sometimes cardamom, sometimes cloves. There's different spices you can put in. I always put a little ginger in mine when I make them.
I would put lots of cinnamon. Yummy.
You really liked the part of the book where Pippi told Tommy and Annika to be a thing finder. This comes from the chapter where Pippi encourages the children to explore inside an old tree. Why did you like that part so much? And why do you think it's good to be a thing finder?
I think it's good to be a thing finder because if you just think, like, oh, I don't have anything to do, I guess I'll just go in and watch TV all day long, you should be more explorative and sort of hunt around for things. Once in the beach, I kept digging for treasure and I found an old spade in the sand.
I remember that. That was exciting. And so you were a thing finder. So what do you think of the phrase, be a thing finder? Because that's what Pippi says. She tells the children, be a thing finder. How will it help you in life if you choose to be a thing finder?
You can save a lot of money and find useful things.
Also, I think it's good to just be a curious person. That's going to help you in all kinds of ways. If you're curious, then you'll be better at your hobbies. Maybe it'll make you a good scientist or a good teacher or whatever job you choose. If you constantly have the idea that you should find things and explore things and look for unexpected fun, I think it's really going to help you in life. Thanks so much for joining me today, Chloe. It was really nice to talk to you about Pippi Longstocking.
I loved it.
Did you know there's a whole lot more books?
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's lots of Pippi Longstocking stories. Do you want to read more and then come back on the show to tell us about them?
Of course.
Pippi Longstocking has been translated into more than 100 languages, and it's still as popular today as when it first appeared almost 80 years ago. A story from a small country at the far north of the world is instantly recognizable to children from everywhere because it taps into the wild imaginations of children. I did mean it before when I said it's best to think of Pippi as an imaginary friend come to life. This isn't a story that's meant to be taken seriously or realistically. Tales about Pippi are simply delightful, chaotic what-ifs. Children, and even adults, can write their own what-ifs based on imaginary friends from childhood. It's normal and healthy for little children to play with imaginary people, but sadly most of us forget these friends and the vivid characters we painted for them. But if any of those childhood memories remain for someone in your family or classroom, you can write your own ridiculous adventure stories. What would happen if an imaginary friend were put into an ordinary situation in your life? How would that character act? What kind of hilarious disruptions would happen? Use your imagination and find out. If you do come up with any stories, we'd love to read them. You've been listening to the Children's Literature Podcast. Please subscribe and give the show a rating. Send comments to letters at childrensliteraturepodcast.com. We're your hosts, TQ Townsend
and Chloe Townsend.
Thanks for listening.